It is January 20th, 2015. This is Jen Yeager talking with Hugh Smith in the Seldovia Conference Center. And this is an interview for the In Our Own Words project of Seldovia Village Tribe. And Mr. Smith, you have lived in Seldovia how long?
I arrived in the late summer of 1970.
And did you come with your wife then?
Or no, did you meet her here? I was single.
And you came here to do what?
I had a job teaching at the Susan B. English School in the vocational shop and high school math.
And how many years did you teach there?
I retired 16 years later. So I was here teaching for 16 years.
And what was it like teaching for Susan B. English?
It fluctuated from year to year. A lot depended upon the local administrator we had. If we had an administrator that was always looking for new ideas and new approaches, we had very successful years. But then as we would, say, change administrators, and some would be more restrictive, then the overall program kind of deteriorated.
And so you were there right when the transition to the new building was happening, right?
Right. When I arrived, the new building was under construction. And the first year, we were in what we call the old school. The shop was down in the basement. The present shop was the gymnasium.
And those were right next to each other?
Yes.
And how about the school classes? You know, right now they're broken up, kind of all the elementary students together, middle school and high school. How was the distribution then?
At that time, the enrollment was 2.5 times what it is today. So it was kind of crowded conditions. They had two portables outside. But the classes were integrated, say, two classes together in the elementary.
Can you talk a little bit about what it was like in the community when the new school opened?
It was primarily a fishing and logging community. We had the Wakefield Cannery processing king crab, mainly. And then out at Jackaloff, there was the logging camp. And we had a number of students that lived at the logging camp, and they would send school buses out. At one time, they had so many students that I believe we had two bus runs a day. Then as the logging deteriorated and the fishing deteriorated, the enrollment started to decrease.
Susan B. English was the first school with a swimming pool, wasn't it, on the
right.
peninsula?
Susan B. English School was the third school in the state to have a swimming pool. I believe that West High in Anchorage was first, and Homer, I believe, was second, and Seldovia was third.
And was the pool used as a regular part of the class or class day? Were there swimming lessons taught as part of class, or was it more of an after-hours kind of thing?
No, it was quite utilized by the PE department as well as the community. But at that time, we had more students, and we actually had a swimming team that would compete with other schools, mainly Homer.
I was just going to ask, if there's only three schools with pools, it must have been kind of racing against the same students all the time.
Right. Homer and Seldovia, they would compete from time to time.
And so you also arrived just kind of very shortly after urban renewal. Can you talk a little bit about what Seldovia looked like and felt like when you first came and the changes that you saw over the years?
When I arrived, there was very limited housing. The area from, say, the Linwood post office area all the way over to the Seldovia house was just one big parking lot. There were, I think, two structures in the entire area, and they were left over from urban renewal. One of them was the city library building, which at one time, I believe, was part of the canneries, or one of the canneries' bunkhouses. And then there was one small residential house left over from urban renewal. But that entire area was basically just one big parking lot, no streets, no utilities, nothing. It used to be what they call Caps Hill. They blew Caps Hill up and used it for fill along the waterfront, and it was just basically a flat, level ground.
So what did you do for housing when you arrived then?
It was customary that staff members or teachers would find temporary housing with other faculty members or even camp at the school for a period of time. So I was able to get into a trailer 2 or 3 months after I was here.
And you, with some of your high school students, built a lot of the buildings that are around now. Is that right?
I saw the need for housing, and there was really nobody locally that was involved in that type of work. So I saw the opportunity of picking up a lot and building. At that time, Alaska Housing Authority owned the property, and you had to basically submit your plans to them to pick up the title to a lot. One thing you had to do was to show that you had the financial ability to complete the project, and they gave you a 2-year timeline to do it. So you could not just go out and buy some land and speculate on it. You had to actually develop it. So I was fortunate enough that there was a local party that financed me for my first project, that once you had established your credit with Alaska Housing, then you could pick up an additional land. So yes, I was involved, and from time to time I would employ students, weekends, sometimes after school, summer, to kind of work along with me.
And what were some of those buildings that were done? I think the Harbor Masters was one, right?
Well, yeah, that was one of the public buildings we did. I was quite intensively involved in the city complex, the library building. At that time, the public library was an old converted barracks or bunkhouse from the cannery, and there's really no central place for city meetings or community meetings other than the school. So I was asked to put together a committee to look at the big picture as to what would be desirable for Seldovia. And that's where the present city complex originated. It was basically broken up into three sections. The nucleus, which is presently the library building, and then on one side we had the clinic, and the other side was the fire and police station. And the intent was to start with the nucleus, which had the heating system and things like that, and then as funds became available, add the clinic and the fire and police station. So the first section of that was the library building itself. And the library committee and the library board obtained a grant from the state to start that original portion.
So it was built in stages?
Yes, it was laid out so that the nucleus could be built first And then the two wings or the two ends could be added later.
And was that one that students were involved in helping build?
No. Ones the students were involved in is on Fulmore Avenue. And that was one of the lots that I picked up in my name. And then basically it was a school project working through the Alaska, or through the Farm Home Administration. That particular building was, we tried to incorporate as much of the school curriculum as possible. So the vocational shop people were involved in the actual physical construction. The home ec department was responsible for the interior design, layout, and specs. And then the business people were involved to a certain extent in the record keeping of it. So we tried to spread it over the entire school population. And at that time, the local administrator was quite flexible, and they designed the entire school day around our work day. So we had all of the upper high school kids for the entire day every Thursday.
And that's a building that's a private home now, or is that a business building?
Right. While we were constructing it, then basically everybody in the community knew that it was available to buy. And yes, upon completion, it was sold to a local party, local family.
And what are some of the other buildings that you worked on?
Altogether, there's probably 25 or 30 in the community that I've had my name on. but everything on Harborview Drive, on the east side, those are projects that I did. And then some of the houses along Main Street, I was quite involved with. At one time, the post office was a one-story building. The Englishes wanted me to put the second story on, so that was one of my projects. The top of the Linwood is twice as big as it used to be. So there's a number of projects around town like that where we actually put the second story on, as well as some minor additions on some houses and some remodeling.
So when you came into Seldovia as, you know, to take a position teaching, did you have any idea what a mark you would leave on the community?
No. No, it basically at that time there was just a void in meeting the housing demand.
Was there much development of Seldovia, you know, back behind the boardwalk? What I've read, they refer to just some trails and so on, but I haven't been able to find much information if there was much housing or building back, you know, further away from the waterline.
No, I'm not familiar with that section of the history that much.
I'm just wondering more about what you saw when you came to town, if there was much building in that area, aside from the area where Caps Hill had been.
There was no recent construction. And basically, there was just this one big parking lot that was available to develop. I think in the course of development, I was able to pick up probably six lots, one at a time. So it was a period of, you know, 6-8 years that I went through putting these in.
Okay, so that was on top of all your teaching and so on?
Right, yes. In fact, it's kind of interesting that that I retired, the new shop teacher came in and asked me one day, he says, "How many hours a day do you put in?" So I tried not to let my construction work interfere with my schoolwork. And I told him how many hours a day I was putting in, and I've been here for 16 years. And his comment was, it's not worth it. And he resigned the next day. So, yeah, it was quite common for me to work a couple of hours on construction after school and then on weekends. But I tried not to let it interfere with my main income or main source of employment.
And what about the shop at school? You said it, when you first came, it was down in the basement and you were in the old building. How did the transition of the current shop occur?
When they built the present school, then I had the full gymnasium, the old gymnasium. And when I spent the first, well, the second summer, basically remodeling and setting up the shop facilities. At that time, you could still play basketball. The hoops were still up, and the floor was still marked and everything like that. So I spent a considerable amount of time that first summer just setting up the shop. And then gradually over the years, we progressed and made a few improvements.
What about some of the people that you remember from Soldovia when you were first here? Who are some of the people in town that kind of stand out in your memory?
Well, I think the first or second day I was here, the principal was quite community-oriented, and he would take new staff members around the community and introduce us to the key people in the community. So he was always making comments that you're in the public's eye all the time, and it's best to know who you're working with. So yeah, I think one of the first people I was introduced to was Jack and Susan English.
And what was Jack's role in town at that time? I know he did a number of different things over the years.
Jack was basically the city manager, although I don't think he had the title of city manager. But he basically oversaw the running of the community.
And was the new post office was already built at that point?
Right. The post office was presently there, and Jack and Susan had the newsstand, which was half of the building. And they kind of lived in the back section of the post office building. And then later on, they added the upstairs, and then they lived upstairs.
And how about some of the other folks?
Well, at that time you had Bob Gruber, who was the owner of Cook Inlet Aviation, which basically has now been replaced by Smoky Bay and Homer Air. But and then John Kohlberg was quite active in town. He was on the council and later was the mayor. Likewise, say Fred Elsoss was active in the community at that time. Darlene worked at the cannery, and Chuck Hendricks was the cannery superintendent. So yeah, those were some of the major players at that time.
And so Wakefield was still active when you were here. Do you remember how long it continued to operate?
Yeah, Wakefield was still extremely active. And once they started processing, say, Tanner crab, I know 1 year they processed crab 11 months continuously. And then shortly after that, the crab population started decreasing. But at one time, there were so many crab pots in the harbor, or not in the harbor, but in the Kachemak Bay, that there is definite traffic lanes going between here and Homer for the boats to stay in. And if you took, say, the Tustamina across, you know, they'd have to stay in these definite traffic lanes just so that they would not interfere with the crab pots. But then as the crab population decreased, why, the cannery decreased also.
And about what year did they pull out finally?
I think the last year the cannery operated, it had been sold a couple of times before this, but it was the year the Exxon spilled. When they had the Exxon spill, why, basically that closed the cannery. But at that time, it was involved in fish processing as well as crab. I don't think the crab was even being harvested at that time. I think it was strictly fish.
Mm-hmm. But it was in that same building the whole time?
Yes.
Okay.
And then back in the early 70s, the Native Association were involved in processing shrimp. And that's where this present building started.
And so that this building was built to be a shrimp processing plant?
Right, right. And if you notice the downstairs section up towards the main street, that was the original part of the building.
So this section here is an addition?
Right.
What about the boat harbor and kind of the traffic? What changes did you see as the fisheries kind of waxed and waned?
Well, the boat harbor used to be full of fishing boats, and Silovia was basically a day fishery type, where the boats would go out in the morning, check the crab pots, you know, harvest the crab, come back in the evening. And so, yeah, it was a day fisheries. And since then, there's fewer and fewer fishing boats and more pleasure boats.
Yeah, it seems like the commercial fishing boats we have now don't come and go by the day. They tend to come and go by a month or two.
Right. And, you know, the larger boats, they may be out for several weeks. The medium-sized boats, 3 or 4 days.
So you were probably here also when the road out to Jackaloff went in, weren't you?
No, that was already there.
Oh, okay.
But it was being maintained by the logging company, I believe. Mm-hmm. And then gradually the state took over the maintenance on it. But at one time, yes, you could drive out to Jackaloff, then over to the Gulf Coast. And I think there was probably about 30 miles of road from Segovia out that you could drive.
So down to the southern side of the...
Right, on the southern peninsula. Side okay. of the peninsula. You go out the Jackaloff up over the hump to the Pacific side and then off to the west on the logging roads.
Was it fairly easy to navigate those roads? Were they in pretty good shape?
Oh, yes. The roads were in good shape because they were trucking, you know, all their logs that they were harvesting back to the sawmill at Jackaloff. So, yes, the roads were in good shape.
And they were wide enough that you could pass a vehicle on
yes,
them?
Yes, you could pass.
Okay. Yeah, I would think it would be rather intimidating otherwise to have a logging truck coming your way. And so did people do that very much? Did people head down
oh,
to
yeah,
the Pacific
it was,
coast?
You know, or else could you go for a Sunday drive? Yes, and you could go over to the other side and go silver salmon fishing in the fall, drive out and go goat hunting. So yes, the road was utilized quite a bit.
And so how long was that passable, would you say, after the logging finished?
We had some heavy rains in the fall, probably early 80s, it washed out some of the bridges, and they were just never replaced. The state was not involved in maintaining the road, so there was just no particular body, you might say, to maintain the roads. And some of the roads are on private property or native property, I believe.
How about just kind of the culture of Seldovia in general? What changes have you seen since you first came here?
Well, at that time, there was more employment, I think, for the entire age group. High school boys, they would work unloading boats at the cannery evenings. The cannery was processing, so there was employment for the women in town. The men were out fishing. So yeah, there was more privately employed people than presently.
And I didn't even ask you where you were before you came to Seldovia. Were you a new teacher? Had you been teaching a while? Had you been to Alaska before?
I taught 1 year in New York State, and then I spent 4 years in Kodiak. And I left the year before the earthquake. And then I was in the States for 6 or 7 years. And then I got a phone call one evening, wanted to know if I was interested in a teaching job in Seldovia. And the superintendent, I believe he said it was his second day on the job, and said he had to hire two or three people and send me 2 hours, I'll call you back. And that was basically the interview.
Is that kind of through some connections you had made in Kodiak?
Well, I had kept my credentials on file in the borough, so they apparently were looking for somebody that could be a vocational teacher as well as a math teacher.
And where were you at that time?
I was in New York State.
You had gone back to New York State?
Yes.
Is that where you grew up?
Right.
And what did you think of Seldovia when I assume you maybe came over on the Tustamina? Or?
No, I flew up, flew down to Homer, and came across with, at that time, it was Cook Inlet Aviation.
And when you first kind of saw the town, do you remember what your impression was?
Well, at that time, it was hard to research just what actually was here. But I was born and raised in a small community, a rural area of upstate New York. So, and I spent 4 years in Kodiak, so I was fairly familiar with what the conditions were going to be. So, yeah, it was not a big surprise.
Did you get a chance to go back to Kodiak and visit that after the earthquake?
No, I haven't.
You've never been back?
No.
And what do you think has kept you in Seldovia all these years?
I've purchased some property so that I am pretty much committed. I've got a subdivision I'm presently working on, so I'm pretty much committed to the area until I get that finalized.
And you raised a daughter here too, who has followed in your footsteps and has become a teacher in a rural community. What was it like as a community for raising a kid?
About half of her schooling was homeschooling, but we tried to expose her, you know, to as many activities and in areas as we could. But yeah, she was always interested in working with kids in the schools. So yeah, she did go on to the University of Alaska in Anchorage, and presently is out at King Cove teaching in the elementary school there.
And one thing I thought was interesting as I was kind of doing a little bit of research was that you and your wife have both been given the honor of being named Citizen of the Year for Seldovia, and your daughter has been the Outstanding Young Person of the Year for Seldovia, which I think says a lot about your family. And I don't know if that's really a question, but it's just really kind of an observation of really how much the community, I think, has recognized.
Well, yeah, your input. I think that, you know, any community, you do have some people that want to become part of the community and, you know, progress. And I think that a lot goes back to how you were brought up. If you're brought up in a community or a family that participates in community activities, then your offspring is more inclined to follow those footsteps.
As you kind of look at Seldovia now, with all the changes, you know, the road into Homer and the lack of canneries and some of the challenges with the fishery and so on, do you have any forecasts of what you see maybe in Seldovia's future?
Back in the 70s, there was a state calendar came out, I believe, with the various areas of the state listed on the front, kind of in a map form. And it had Seldovia, the condo city. And this was back in the early 70s. And even at that time, people apparently were thinking of Seldovia as a retirement community. And I look at it that way too, that Seldovia is becoming more and more a summer retreat, a second home, with majority of the employment in the community related to summer activities. So I look at it as more and more becoming a retirement community, senior citizen area.
Is there anything else that you'd like to add, or any things I didn't ask you about that you'd like to?
Can't think of anything offhand.
Well, thank you so much for your time today. I really appreciate you coming in.
Okay, and I've enjoyed it. Thank you.
Thanks.